Voyage.
Katie, it's Joan. I know it's been a while since we spoke, but I really need your help. Please call me. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Katie. I'm either out having an adventure, sleeping off my last adventure, or just plain ignoring your call.
Katie, please call me as soon as you get this message. It's urgent. 911. Matter of life or death. Mostly death.
Katie, I'm either out having an adventure, sleeping off my last adventure, or just plain ignoring your call.
Katie, I'm outside your house. You don't even have to call me back. Just come outside.
Last month, I congratulated Joan Perkins for her win in the Cypress Creek elections. I hope that she becomes the best HOA president this side of Houston. It's not what I planned for my life, not what I wanted, and her vision doesn't match with mine for the direction of this community. But that's okay. The community made their choice, fair and square. I know those of us on the Upper Ridge are disappointed we won't be getting our pool at this time, but I have to remember we can't make this election be about a few people's needs over another's. This has been a community who is deeply divided over building swimming pools, building back homes. Joan is our president now, and we must accept that she has a different agenda. Democracy is about a peaceful transition of power, and I will respect that. I'm going to go away for a while. I'm going to go enjoy my time off. Since losing the presidency to that political dilettante, Joan Perkins, I decided to keep out of the spotlight for a while. It's just been too much, you know? I mean, when I got home after that election, I got into my bed without eating dinner. And I literally slept for the next 3 days. I was so exhausted from all the pressures I had to face as president. All the public asking me for this and that all the time. All the negative noise from social media posts, crank calls. I mean, I even got death threats from time to time. Mostly from that psycho woman who tries to pass her twin dogs off as one. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with her again. But I must say, when I woke up after those 3 days, I was quite depressed. I had no idea what to do with myself anymore. I was living my life for the people, for years, for people who didn't appreciate me anyway. Now, I have this endless span of time with no great purpose to give me direction. I've decided to channel my energy into hobbies I've always meant to get to but never had time for. I used to collect old fruit jars from various periods of time. I'd scour the flea markets and vintage shops throughout the state. And I must have a couple hundred of them in a variety of colors, blues, greens, a couple of browns, and a yellow. Even this rare purple glass jar that's worth probably $1,200. Anyway, I got tired of that, so I moved on to collecting guns. I have 17 now. My first one at a local gun shop, it's a Colt SAA. It's got this cute little longhorn engraved in mother of pearl on the handle. I liked it because it had all these little flowers on the barrel. I don't ever shoot that one, but it got me started. My favorite is a SIG P365. It's a good beginner for girls, small and mighty. You know those glass fruit jars I was collecting? Now I use them as target practice. Guess which one was the first jar I shot? That's right. The $1,200 purple one. Pretty satisfying. Kind of symbolic. Broken glass represents the end of an era and a new beginning, you know? Like, don't cry over spilled milk. But this new beginning is awful. It's just so painfully dull. I was so much happier when I was president. The people's servant. Getting things done in this community. Blowing up glass with guns is only interesting on the first shot. After that, it's just a bunch of cleanup. And it's not the kind of cleanup I'm interested in. So when that witch Joan called me like 100 times in a row one night, I must admit my interest was piqued. Did she want my help? Was she calling to resign? Had she finally had enough? As bored and curious as I was, though, I was determined to ignore her. At least make her wait it out a day or two. Until my son, Trig, told me she was sitting outside our house in her minivan. I gave her a good hour before I finally went out to see what she wanted. Hey?
Katie, thanks for seeing me. Can you get in the car? I need to talk.
I got in the car. Joan looked real frazzled. She was trembling and pale. What is it, Joan? Is it Mark? The kids?
No.
Is it the presidency? Is it too much for you? She just looked at me. Listen, I get it. The presidency is set up to fail. It's too much responsibility. It's too much power. Too many people wanting the power.
Betty's dead.
Oh. She showed up to my doorstep for that? Oh, dear. What happened?
I don't know. Maybe a stroke. I just found her.
Well, did you call her daughter?
Not yet.
Then why are you sitting in front of my house at this hour?
She's at my office.
Her daughter?
No, Betty. Betty's at my office.
Dead?
Yeah.
Now this is getting really interesting. What was she doing at your office?
We moved her there.
Dead?
No, I mean, we had moved her there, alive. We'd moved her in there, in an empty supply closet.
What the hell?
She was just so unhappy, always bitching and moaning about my house. Yes, I'd moved her into my house. And then the fire ants came and we were living in a tent.
I am enjoying this so, so much.
Mm. And she just would not stop. Would not stop flapping her old lady lips. I was going to lose it.
So you moved her into a supply closet. Alive.
We had a bed? A microwave? I gave her Mark's TV.
He let you give her his TV?
Oh, I paid for it. Trust me.
Oh, a little Bam Bam in the ham?
We are talking about a dead person here, Katie.
Okay, so she's dead. She's in a closet in your office building. It's Sunday night and you've got less than 12 hours to solve this problem before your entire office finds out. You're a psychopath. Why are you here?
Well, I...
Wait, stop. I don't even need you to answer the question. I already know. You can't fix this shit on your own, so you came to the person who can.
I... Yes.
Joan.
Katie, please.
I paused for about 5 seconds just to make her sweat. She was really in a pickle, and I had to think fast. Was I going to just agree to help her? The witch took away the only good thing I had going for me. She reduced me to an aimless fruit jar shooting political has-been. I don't know. It's actually date night with me and the mister. Not that my husband would notice if I left. He always got his face buried in some bonehead political news feed where everybody complains about the government. In politics, if you do very little, people complain you're not doing enough. If you do more, they call you a dictator. But I mean, we're all put on earth to do something, right? And I do feel that I was put on earth to help people. Plus, who am I kidding? I love drama. And the last few drama-free months have been painfully dull. I would much rather get as involved as hell into other people's problems. Plus, I've never moved a body before. Date night can wait. Let's go.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Joan threw the car into drive and sped off towards her office. By the time we got to the storage closet, the room stunk of farts and kimchi. Joan took off her shirt and tied it around her face to try and mask the smell. She was retching over and over. I think we should get the bed out first. She's kind of trapped in it.
Okay.
Joan took one of the sheets from the bed and draped it over Betty. We carefully took apart the bed, trying not to step on Betty or disturb her too much. We quickly carried the frame and mattress to Joan's truck and pushed it into the bed. Then we brought the microwave, Mark's TV, and the rest of Betty's clothes to the truck, saving Betty for last. While we were loading up the truck, Joan kept making glances over to the corner store that's over by the building. What are you looking at?
I'm just making sure nobody notices us.
It's 9 o'clock on a Sunday. We're moving furniture. You look suspicious if you keep looking over there. We came back to the room and we stood over Betty, hands on our hips. You want the top or the bottom?
Huh?
Shoulders or feet?
What do you want?
What do you want?
You're the guest.
Geez, Joan, don't make this so difficult.
I'm sorry. I've never done this before.
Okay. Grab her feet. I'll do her head. We go to the gym every day. This can't be harder than a deadlift. I grabbed under her armpits and hoisted her up. Joan pulled her up by the feet and we started to walk in opposite ways like she was an accordion. Stop, stop, stop. We gotta go in the same direction, to your right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. We slowly shuffled towards the closet door. Suddenly, Betty gave a soft moan before Joan dropped her.
Oh my God, she's alive. Oh, thank you, baby Jesus. It's a miracle. Betty?
Betty moaned again, her eyes rolling back into her head.
I think she's stroking.
What should we do? Call 911?
But if we do that, there's going to be a bunch of questions.
Well, let's put her on a sheet and drag her out. Joan grabbed the second sheet and spread it out on the floor. We rolled Betty onto it and we both started dragging the sheet towards the door.
Great idea.
What would you do without me?
I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone but you.
Aww, I missed you.
I missed you too.
I hate that we were fighting.
Me too. This whole presidential competition is stupid. We do so much better when we work together.
Agreed.
What if we share the presidency?
Share the presidency?
Like, can we be co-presidents?
I'm not really sure that's allowed or a good idea.
Come on, presidents can make the rules. We could work together, but you could have your own responsibilities and agenda.
Go to all the parties and events, trips, could guide special foreign policies.
So it's yes?
Yes. We literally jumped for joy, squealing like we were kids.
Yeah.
Until Joan stepped on Betty's hand and tripped, falling over her.
Oof.
We gotta get out of here. Come on. We had managed to get Betty to the front door of the building, but we needed every ounce of strength we had to pick her up and put her in the truck. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Upsy-daisy. Our collective joy helped give us strength as we hoisted her up into the trunk. Her head knocked against the bed, but otherwise, it was a fairly clean deposit. As I was catching my breath, I heard Joan gasp.
Oh, shit.
What is it?
Look over there, at the corner store.
I looked to the corner store, and who did I see but our neighbor, Gadjadar, or Gag, as we like to call him. He was looking at us suspiciously.
What is he doing out here so late?
I saw him reach into a bag and pull out something long and brown. He held it up to his mouth and took a big bite, never taking his eyes off us as we glared back at him.
Is he eating taquitos from the gas station?
Wave.
What?
Wave at him. Be friendly.
He hates us ever since we called the cops on him for oxy.
He doesn't know it was us? Joan looked at Gag and stared him down hard.
Screw you, Gag!
I flipped him off as Joan quickly moved to shut the truck's tailgate, obscuring Betty from view. Gag took another bite of his taquito and started walking towards us. Get in the car! Joan and I jumped into the truck and sped off past Gag and onto the main road. There was a loud thumping sound coming from the back of the truck. What is that thumping?
That's Betty!
Betty! What are we gonna do with Betty? Should we take her to her house and leave her there?
That's a good idea. No, wait. We can't. Because the contractor's been working on our house, and if anyone suspects foul play, he'll be the first suspect.
Oh, that's great. Takes the focus off you.
Not great. He's the only contractor I could find between here and California. I can't lose him. Let's just take her to the ER and drop her off.
We sped over to the hospital. Joan was pissed the whole time.
She's probably gonna die. And even if she doesn't, all the extra money we had diverted from the pool project I had was going into fixing up her house. And now, if she dies, nobody's going to use it. Because nobody's going to buy Betty's half-reconstructed house. Because our neighborhood is an absolute mess.
I almost felt sorry for her. Almost. We arrived at the hospital and we were following the signs that read emergency and pulled up to the emergency room entrance. Joan looked over at me and her face was ghastly white.
I'm going to go in. I can't just leave her. It's too much.
Okay. How about I pull off into the parking lot and wait for you?
I'd appreciate that.
Good luck.
Thanks.
I waited as Joan went inside and came out with the emergency room staff in a gurney. The staff pulled Betty out the bed of the truck and they disappeared into the hospital, with Joan and I following them. The doctor questioned Joan.
Are you family?
Roommate, technically.
Your roommate has suffered a severe stroke.
Oh, no! Did she by any chance say anything?
No. She's not able to speak.
Do you know when she might get better?
Tough to say. She'll survive, but she may not be able to speak for a long time. It's a good thing you got her here as fast as you did. It could have been even worse.
A long time. So, like, just to be clear, 2 weeks or, like, 2 years?
Probably more towards the latter, if she ever regains the ability to speak at all.
Okay, great. I mean, not great. I understand. Great job clarifying. Okay, bye.
So much for Big Mouth Betty. I went home and settled into bed with my favorite late night snack of rice cakes and PB&J. I know, how absolutely juvenile of me. I flipped on the news and who did I see there but Joan Perkins being interviewed by a local reporter outside the hospital.
Cypress Creek's Joan Perkins is a local hero tonight when she quickly sprang into action at the aid of her neighbor, who suffered a stroke sometime in the night.
I found her. She was lying on the floor next to her bed. I thought she was dead. But when I tried to move her, she made a little moaning sound like, just like I was so scared and I just didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to save her life.
I can't believe it. She's gonna take all the credit for herself. Unbelievable. And to think I trusted her when she told me she missed me. Ha! It was all a play in case she blew it. Co-president my foot.
But I couldn't have done it without my very good friend, Katie, who was able to come and help me and acted quickly to get Betty to the hospital. She's an amazing woman, that one. She's my partner in crime.
Well, co-president it is. Strange. It's late. I thought maybe it was Joan calling me from the landline at the hospital. Hello?
Katie, it's Gajodar. We need to talk.
Cypress Creek is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, Dan Benamor, and Laura Summers. Executive produced by Lynn Jenkins. Written and directed by Laura Summers, based on Hurricane Harvey, Overcoming the Chaos by Lynn Jenkins. The book is available on Amazon. A link is in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Joel Lippman. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. Starring Carolina Bonetti as Katie and Annie Abrams as Joan. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes. Hey, listeners, this is Dan Benamor, head of podcasts for Voyage Media, fighting a cold to tell you about another show that I am confident you're going to enjoy if you're enjoying Cypress Creek. It's called Love, Murder, Florida. It stars the wonderful Jane Lynch, who you may know from Glee and The 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's a dark comedy about a feud between two women who used to be friends that leads to one of them traveling to Florida and meeting a charismatic, very handsome, and very dangerous man and making some terrible decisions. It's darkly comic. It's super messed up. It's a real walk on the wild side. So stop listening to my sick voice and look up Love, Murder, Florida from Voyage Media. All episodes are available now anywhere you listen to podcasts.